This is a production of Cornell University.
EA meeting, April 16th, 2008.
Good afternoon. I'd like to welcome everybody to today's meeting of the Employee Assembly, April 16th. At this time, I'd like to call the meeting to order and ask if there's any late additions to our agenda. Okay. We have a lot to do. We're running behind. So I'm going to move some of my comments from my report to the Executive Committee report. And we can move on to Michael and the report from the Employee Trustee.
Okay, my report rather brief. As you know, there are elections going on for the Graduate Student Trustee and for the Employee Elected Trustee. There are three candidates for the Employee Elected Trustee. As you all know, they're here and going to be part of today's program. I encourage everybody to vote. And make sure you sign your envelope before you send it in. The other part, last week we had a meeting of the Buildings and Properties Committee. Three things worth noting. One was the Animal Health Diagnostic Center was approved. That's part of the vet college.
And $6 million on the budget.
Thank you, Donna. Donna also at the meeting. It was my honor to be seated next to her. The second two items I would have off of the minutes, please, because these were going to full closed session. The Plantation Welcome Center and the Botanical Garden was approved. They're redoing the Welcome Center. Schematic drawings are really quite lovely. I encourage everybody to look at those when they become available publicly. And the second thing is the turf replacement for the football stadium. This is going to necessitate that women's field hockey be moved to one of the alumni fields, because this type of turf, which is artificial, is not suitable for field hockey. Although other women's athletics like soccer and lacrosse are going to be able to compete and practice. And the field will also be available for non-athletic events that we have in the past. That concludes my report. There'll be a full round of board meetings and committee meetings during commencement weekend, and then I will report after that, and I'll take any questions if there are.
Yeah, I don't have any questions. Thank you very much, Jeff. We're going to move on to the business of the day. I'd like to introduce everybody. Most everybody does know our guest speaker, George Peter. He was a long-serving employee elected trustee. George is probably the number one supporter of staff that I've ever known. And another one of George's accomplishments, there's been many, was he was very instrumental in creating the campus newspaper, now known as Ball Print. He's a true leader, and I admire him and give him my highest level of respect. George.
Thank you. You're very lucky, because I didn't know I was going to be a speaker. Dan told me to be here. So I just guided them for progress. So I'll keep it short. Progress. You people are sitting at one stage of the life at Cornell. Cannot appreciate the progress that has happened since the 1969 Willis State takeover and the establishment of the University Senate, Cornell Senate. And you should know a few things about that. There were supposed to be a equal representation, and the Senate had 60 faculty, 60 students, and 5 staff members. And yours truly made an absolute ass of himself by mentioning at every meeting that anything that we passed had no credit to it, because we did not have representation, just token representation. They put together a thing called a committee to study self-governance, and and I served on that when we argued for 25 staff, and I compromised for 13, and thank goodness, because if we didn't ask for 25, we never got 13 people to volunteer. We came close almost every time, but unfortunately, that's because we don't do, and we didn't then, and we don't now. Those people try very, very hard. We don't do a good enough job because there's no way to do a good enough job to promote the importance of this body. Those of you who are so dedicated to give up so much of your time for this great purpose of helping to improve the welfare and the well-being of staff at Cornell. And to do it by communication, and if you don't do anything else, if you figure out ways to improve the communication, you will have done a terrific service. And of course, the involvement. Shortly after we got the Senate going, the Senate argued for 4 seats from the faculty on the Board of Trustees and 4 for the students. And so I said, wait a minute, you're leaving out the staff again. And so we argued, and fortunately the faculty and the students agreed that we ought to have at least a representative on the Board of Trustees provided to the staff. And that happened since 1985. Then or earlier, I don't remember. I'm 86 years old and I'm forgetful, so you'll have to forgive me. I have that excuse and I'm using it. But we've been very fortunate to have terrific people serving on the Board of Trustees, representing staff, and Mike is a perfect example. He has served on 2 search committees for president. He served on the BNP committee, and he's treated as an equal on the Board of Trustees. And they listen to him as well as they listen to anybody else. I was lucky enough to be the first elected, and then I ran 3 or 4 other times. And then the board elected me trustee emeritus, and I had the other privilege of being, I think, the only community elected member to the Board of Trustees who served on the Executive Committee. And I think I served on the Executive Committee for 7 or 8 years. And I served on 2 search committees, the first one for Frank Rhodes and the second one for Jeffrey Lehman. No.
Roger
Rawlings. See, I told you about memory. You are represented, you are involved. God bless you, keep it up. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, George. Now we have 3 new candidates here in front of us that are looking to become the employee elected trustee, and we invited them here to our meeting to hear George speak a little bit about the background, and also to give you an opportunity to speak in front of us as the employee assembly. We're going to follow it up by questions and answers. Let's start with John, and move to Beth, and then move to Brian. And just give us a little bit about yourself. Maybe you prepared a statement, why you're running, general information.
Well, I didn't prepare a statement because I didn't know what the forum would be. So I'm really happy to be here, and I echo George's comments about thanking all of you for serving on the employee assembly and for the sacrifice that it is, sacrifice of time. I've said this before in this gathering, and I truly mean that. And I certainly look forward to even greater interest and participation on the employee assembly from a wider group of employees in the years to come. I think that's something we can all look for. Brian's extended himself to participate in that, and I appreciate that, Brian. We'll take you up on it for sure.
Thank you.
The reason that I'm running is because I know and I believe and I'm convinced that employees matter. Employees are a big segment of this community. We outnumber faculty about 5-1. In most cases, we outlast students. Although there are some in Clark Hall that, you know, almost have tenure, but we do have a sizable impact on this campus as employees. And as employees, we enable, in the most positive sense of that word, faculty and students to do what they do and to do it effectively. They couldn't do it without employees. Employees carry a very special perspective based on years of work and service and investment in this place. And I know from having talked to several employees that their commitment to Cornell is very deep. It goes beyond that of simply a job. And people are concerned about the mission of the university. I think one of the things that we need to do, and Mary Opperman has begun to promote this idea, is to build a better understanding from every employee. She calls it the direct line of sight. The direct line of sight between every job and what the university mission is. Because everybody, when they do their job and they do it well, contribute to the success of the mission of the university. And I think if everyone could express in their own way how their particular job contributes to the mission of the university, that would really add meaning to the jobs of everyone on campus. One of the keys to that is to be able to express the mission of the university in a brief, memorable, and an inspirational way. And that's something that you can all work on too. So that's certainly a starting point for me. I'm business oriented in the sense of having worked in university offices and departments for over 24 years. I worked for 10 years in private business before coming to Cornell. And it's a business. Cornell is, in fact, as you know, an educational corporation. And the Board of Trustees deals with the business of the university to a very large extent, and I feel that I'm prepared to do that. You're not cutting me off, so in deference to my friends, I'm going to stop talking. I don't know if there's a time limit. Is there a time limit?
We'll just keep it equal however you see.
Well,
we're gonna have some questions.
I can fill up the whole half hour, but I don't think that would be fair. So I'll be glad to take questions after the others have a chance to speak. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
I'm Dr. McKinney. I don't have a prepared statement, but if you want to hear the one I did prepare, you can see it on PennCon's on the internet.
Pretty soon.
So I'm feeling very positive this year. And the reason why I'm running is because ever since I found out about that there was an employee trustee, which was nearly 14 years ago, I've always had this in the back of my mind that would be something really amazing, really cool to do. And this time, this year, this last week, it came together. In terms of what I think I can give to the position, I see a couple of really important areas. I see myself as a channel to get the great ideas that a lot of people on this campus have to the right place, whether it's to the employee assembly, to the trustees, and then get that information from the trustees back to the employees. I just think that's a skill I have from the 14 years that I've been working in the wellness program, and I've certainly talked to enough people to feel confident in that. The second thing that I'd like you to know about me is that I have this understanding, because I've been here long enough and seen things try to happen, I know how complex it is to make changes. And because I'm feeling so positive, I think that I can be very helpful and serve very positively areas of change that employees are hoping for. Things can't always happen just because you ask for them to happen. It involves a lot of research and a lot of legwork and a lot of talking to people and a lot of taking your feet and a variety of different strategies. I'm willing to help come up with strategies that will work instead of trying to go round and round and round and round. So that's why I'm running, and I'm very excited, and I'll stop for now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, hi. I'm running. I've been an employee advocate for many years. This was my favorite chair when I served on the employee assembly. And from there, I went on many different committees, Transportation Advisory Council, CRC. I was also served on the university assembly. During that time, I knew that I wanted to play a major role in the university as far as being an advocate for the workers that work here. Obviously, all of you have made that same decision because you wouldn't be here if you didn't care. And I did care. And after I served my term, I was elected president of local UAW 2300, where I served the employees, about 1,100 of them, served maintenance. And then a different kind of role I could help. I'm back now, and I'm not serving in that role, but I would like to serve as a communication, as a mainstream to the people that make the decisions from the top down. I think that I bring in a unique perspective because I'm in touch with a lot of employees that you don't often see. They're always behind the scenes. And those employees matter to me. And I really care about all the employees at Cornell University, and I think that there's a lot of employees that they're not being heard. And I would like to bring their voices and possibly increase the size and numbers of the employees that want representation and will have representation. That's why I'm here.
Thank you, Brian. Before I open the floor to some questions, I just want to say that it is very courageous of the three of you to actually have that thought in the back of your mind, which many people do, but bring it forward and go through the process of applying. It's a big step. It's a demanding position, and we're thankful that we have three of you that we can choose from. Does anybody have any comment?
One of the things that I have argued, because administrators and others have referred to the employee elected trustee as employee trustee, and I think it's important to differentiate between that description. We're not employee trustee. We aren't just trustees for the employees. We are the employee elected trustee, the same way that faculty elected trustee. And we ought to get that using that term by everybody.
Okay. Myself included, I made that mistake. Pat.
Brian, I have a question.
Okay, Pat. Pat is our employee assembly representative from our Geneva campus.
She's not under the desk.
No. Yes, Pat.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Pat.
I have been listening very intently, and I actually have a three-part question, and I hope that it won't be too long, but I think the question is important. After listening to you folks speak, it's very clear to me that you each bring experience and knowledge in different arenas with regard to your work history and your personal history. My question is threefold. Can you tell us specifically, I know we've talked in general terms, but specifically what method you would use to do three things? The first is connect with and engage staff to share their concerns with you. The second part is work with the employee assembly. And the third part is how would you partner with the EA and share information with staff? I know that's a very long question, but I think each of those components are important.
Brian's trying to swallow.
I apologize. I was swallowing. Do the three of you understand the question?
I understand the third one, I think.
What's the third part, Pat?
How would you partner with the employee assembly as the employee elected trustee? how would you partner with the EA, share information with the employee assembly, and then also extend that out a little bit and share information with the staff outside of the EA?
Thank you, Pat. What I'm going to do is when I get questions, I'm going to choose so I make it random. We're not going to go in the same order, and we'll start with Beth on this question, move to Brian, and then John will be last on this question. So Beth, if you want to start and answer Beth's question, or ask questions, that'll be great.
I've given this some thought, and I think I'd like to answer it all in one answer instead of three separate answers. Because I think that the trustees should have a place on the employee assembly because they're very closely related. I think the trustees will have the ear of administrators here, but also will have the ear of a lot of employees who will share information that might be more appropriate for the employee assembly use. And so I think that by being at the meeting and being involved with the employee assembly is going to be very important. That said, I think that there could be a partnership so that, because nobody on campus besides us knows the difference, honestly. And I think if there was some type of way to do the communication together so that it comes out in a spot where people can get it and maybe, I don't know, be a little bit more efficient. I think that's a good idea. I still would like to hear what people from the EA and previous trustees might think about that, but that's off the cuff something that makes sense with me. In terms of getting information from the staff, my hope is to go around to the different locations, which is something that I had done when I ran the blood pressure clinic, but contact building coordinators, set up in my mind, I'm thinking once a month, be somewhere that's in a different location for a different audience and ask them their opinions, share things with them, and just show up and be there. Of course, I'll have an email, I'll have, you know, other ways to get in touch with me, and I'll have my door open. So hopefully that answers the question, but that's kind of the way I'm thinking about it now.
Thank you, Beth.
Thanks.
Okay, Brian's going to be next, Pat.
Thank you.
Hi, Pat.
Hi.
I'm kind of in a unique role because I have a little bit of experience on EA. There was well, now they call them advanced, but back then it was called a retreat that I'll never forget. It was actually at George Peter's house. And George talked to me a little bit about partnerships, not necessarily with each other in the university, but he was talking, referring to unionism. And that made a lot of sense to me, what he had to say. And that's when I entered the presidency of the union, I actually formed a partnership with the union in Cornell University, and it was very successful. I believe in building on partnerships. I always have. I think everybody gains more when they're partnering together than fighting. So I'm a strong advocate of partnerships. As far as bringing information to the EA, I was on the EA when, I can't say her name, Cindy Tuchu. She was the trustee, and one of the things I noticed is she didn't spend a lot of time at the EA meeting. I plan on doing a lot of that. I plan on being as many EA meetings as I can because that's where a lot of the information that I'll need to represent the employees will come from. I also plan on connecting with employees as I do now. I'm out in the field daily in my position as a lead coordinator, and I talk to employees daily, and I will not stop that. I enjoy that. That's one of the things about my job I enjoy the most. We're out there, we're visible, and we can communicate, and I plan on doing that. There was another series that I thought was very successful that the Employee Assembly sponsored. That was the Brown Bag Lunch, I think it was called, where Mary Opperman went to different places and communicated. I don't think that is just something that she can do. I think that's also something that the EA can do themselves and the trustees to get out in the community, visit with people, and answer those questions that they have and bring those things to the places where they need to go. So I would act as an advocate as well for that.
Thank you. And we're going to end the question with John.
Pat, thanks for the question. I'm passing out just a quarter card that has my website on it, and I would encourage you all, when you have a moment, to go to the website. I've answered 13 or 14 questions about why I'm running and the role of the trustees, and one of the questions that I answer on the website is, how can you possibly represent all the employees and their concerns on the board of trustees? So I've given quite a bit of thought to this, and I think the trick in this is also to grow and to learn and to do what needs to be done in order to do it effectively. The first thing is that I, as others have said, I'll be in touch with and talk to as many employees as often as possible. I'm a communicative person. I love to talk about things and hear other people's ideas. I'm also very collaborative in terms of arriving at decisions and making decisions on things. So collaborating is something that's really in my managerial style and in my genes, and that's something that we'll definitely do. Talked with George in the past about some things that he did, and of course, I think George instituted the brown bag lunches as far as the trustee is concerned, going to different places on campus and meeting with staff. That's something that I intend to reinvigorate on this campus. There's an opportunity for staff to come in various locations, various times, to meet together. And I think the fruit of that is not just what I can glean if I'm in this position of employee elected trustee, but it starts the conversation between employees, and who knows what good will come out of that, but I'm anxious to see it. Another thing is, I would set up some sounding boards. This is a term, I don't know if I invented it, I'm not claiming I invented it, but I haven't heard it used this way before. Sounding boards would be specific employees, both in Ithaca and in Geneva, we won't leave you out, Pat, I promise, who are willing to commit themselves to be in a direct link of communications with the with myself, if I'm in this position, to communicate with each other via email, electronically, to occasionally have meetings, but to be able to have quick communications with one another, to be able to get the pulse of what the employees think about certain things and topics. I would have two or three different sounding boards of some number. I don't have a set number. And each member of the sounding board will have their own network of 5 to 10 employees that they could contact quickly. And if we needed to get quick input on any topic or anything that's going on at the university, we should be able to handle that pretty quickly electronically. And of course, we would meet in person from time to time. So those are some of the ways. I'll be attending meetings and functions, and I'll be available and visible. In terms of connecting with this group, I see the employee-elected trustee and the EA in very much a partnership. We both have responsibilities to represent employees on this campus to different audiences and some overlapping audiences. There are things that the employee assembly can be much more effective at than the trustee can. But I think we do need to work together. We do need to share information. We need to refer issues to one another. And so I also plan to plug in to the EA and be connected with it, to appear, to give reports, and to be involved. So I hope that answers the question. Thanks.
Thank you, Doug. We have about 10 minutes left, so we're going to continue with the floor being open for questions and answers. We have 10 minutes left. Does anybody else have a question? Peter.
One of the big challenges of being a volunteer position, like in place like trustee or employee seminar member, is balancing the duties of that position with your regular job duties. And I imagine that being employee like trustee is going to have a lot more work involved than what we do here. And even just being members here, we find we have a big challenge balancing those. So does that sound for you guys too, and how do you see yourself balancing your regular job with the duties as an employee like a trustee?
Thank you, Peter. We're going to start with Brian, move to John, and then Beth can answer questions.
One of the first things I did before I even accepted and started collecting signatures is I went to my media supervisors and then asked if they would mind if I pursued this. They thought it was great. They encouraged me and they've been very good about allowing me flexibility to continue. I will also say that when I stopped being the union president, I found myself with a whole lot of extra time for some reason. I gave that 24/7. And that's the way I am. I plan on giving this 24/7. And I'm not just a trustee at work, I'm a trustee at home, and I'm always available. So I plan on being that. And most of the people that do a lot of the work there, you'll find that you call them up at home, they're there. I want to be that kind of person. I want to be there for them. And if we can be some kind of help, it's good. I also like to say that as far as organizing and the employees, what John was talking about is we call canvassing in the organizing frame. And canvassing employees wouldn't be a bad thought if you can come up with a frame for doing that. So that's not a bad thought, John.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, John. Question to you.
Sure. Well, it's a great question. And to put all pretenses aside and to be perfectly honest, when I was first approached about the thought of running, I said, no. No way. I hadn't ever thought seriously about running, frankly, until I was approached. And my first thought was, I don't have time. I don't have time to do this. But the person who presented the idea to me was persistent in talking to me and giving me the opportunity to ask questions about the effectiveness of this role. One of my concerns, frankly, was would the employee elected trustee have a good standing on the board and be able to make a difference? And I got incredibly good answers to the questions that I asked. And when I began to speak to other people, my wife included, about the idea of doing this, when I couldn't dismiss it as easily as I had hoped initially, the encouragement that I got to do it and to run led me to truly sit down and explore how to do it. So I've given it a lot of thought and worked with my boss, who happens to be the chairman of the physics department, and wasn't about to bless me to do this until I could give him a clear-cut plan of how we would make it work. And he has blessed my candidacy to run. So I have tremendous support in my department and have talked to the staff there. They're very supportive of my run. And I know that they will do whatever they can to help me be successful if I'm elected. The College of Arts and Sciences, and I have to say this with a great measure of humility, has truly supported me as a member of the college doing this. They would have supported anyone in the college doing it. The College of Arts and Sciences has offered backup support for me that will enable me to do the job at the level that's needed. And it's an incredible offer because it's made not just to me, but it's made as an example to other members of the College of Arts and Sciences who choose to serve the campus community in this kind of way, that they are supportive of it. And in the way that faculty get leave to do things, the college has offered me support as well. And I'm very grateful for that. So I guess the other thing I would say is that I'm not limited by my appointment at Cornell, so fortunately or unfortunately, I can work as many hours as I need to.
Thank you, John.
If I'm elected trustee, I'm going to call the College of Arts and Sciences and see if they'll give me some backup support. I think, honestly, for the next 4 years, what gets you through it is sheer adrenaline. It's an exciting position. It's extra work. You know you need to be connected, which I am, at home, and I would just say, you know what, I'm not going to mind that for the next 4 years. It will take some weekend work. It will take a very supportive family and a very supportive work staff, which I have. And to be honest, right now, this four-year chunk of time that is coming up seems to be a time for me when I feel very energetic. I also think this will satisfy a need that I have to work with people smarter than me, people who can mentor me, whether they're other people who work in the university or other trustees. And so I'm looking forward to it. But it just, I think it's going to take a lot of energy. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. We're going to take two more questions if we have them. We started a little late, so we're going to give an extra 5 minutes here. Hazel has the next question.
Joyce had talked about importance of communication and sharing information, and that there always seems to be this gap of communication between whomever it is. You know, Cornell's a city within itself, so communication is always going to be an issue. Our focus is 100% staff focused, and I'd like to know your ideas on how you will connect with staff that work second and third shift, and how you will connect with staff that they don't have the skills that's needed to go to a computer, or they don't have a computer, or they don't have the will to want to go to a computer. So how will you connect that communication with them?
We're going to start back with John.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that EA is considering having meetings at other hours. I was at one of the meetings a few weeks ago where you discussed that to address this very problem. So I think it's great that EA is also considering this issue. Availability is a big a person has to be available, and the EA has understood this as well, in order to talk to the people who are here when other people aren't here. And so it's a matter of arranging times to come and do that. I'd be happy to do it. I plan to do it. Custodians, I know, are on a slightly different shift than everyone else, and I had a very successful meeting earlier this week with about 24 custodians in the building surrounding Clark Hall for half an hour, and just listening to their concerns and their thoughts and their ideas was inspirational because of their commitment to their jobs in the university. So that kind of communication is something that I certainly will be involved in. I don't see myself as being restricted by an 8-to-5 or an 8-to-7 or whatever work shift. And that's availability and doing what needs to be done. Did I miss part of the question? Sorry if I did.
No, the second part was, not all staff go to computers, computers. So how will you...
Well, again, I'll use the custodians as a perfect example. Most of them don't even know what their net ID is. Mm-hmm. And I was there. Talking to them, I've got 3/4 of a page of notes, and I've promised to come back and talk to them again. So whether they're custodians, or whether they work in the shops, or whether they're bus drivers, or whatever, I'll be available. I mean, that's all I can do is promise you that. Thanks.
Thank you, Josh. Okay, Beth?
So I've got two pieces to the answer. One is, in my job now, I'm very connected with many departments for folks who have second and third shifts and unusual schedules. And so probably the first thing that I'll do is call my contacts in those departments to find out what the best way is to communicate with them. We've actually already done that in some programs that we run as a wellness program. So I've met people at the time clock at certain times in the morning. I have not been to anyone who starts at 11 at night, but not out of the question. But I do feel connected, and I feel like I can answer the right questions and find out the best way for my contact. The second part of the question is, how do you reach people who aren't connected? And I just want to say that part of connecting with people is they need to have some personal accountability to care as well. You can't make people care who don't care, who are never going to care. And so we'll do what we can to get out there and to be out there. But one of the things the university is working hard to do is to connect everybody, to get them a net ID. There are a lot, all of the folks who don't check their email have a net ID. And so there's a lot of training going on right now to connect them. And one of the things that I've heard people say is, oh, I know my NetID, I'll read the wellness email. And they're excited that they have something to connect to. So I would help get us all moving forward technologically, because I think that's the direction that everyone should be going in. So the folks who never connect, never want to connect, just do my best and be there when I can.
Thank you, Beth. And actually, your answer, Brian, is going to be the last answer. We're not going to move on with any other questions. We're running behind, so you can finish up our question and answer session.
Georgia talked about staff and communication and connecting the university together as far as communication. How will you tighten up communication between second and third shift workers? And how will you reach out to the staff that don't have computers, knowledge how to use a computer?
Actually, the second half of that question, I've been doing a lot of this week. We have a lot of employees that aren't connected to the NID. We have a lot of employees that can't read or write. And one of the things that I've been doing is I've been seeking out those, and I think every employee counts at Cornell if you're an employee. And I've been connecting with quite a few of them this week on my own time, both at morning shift, and in the afternoon, at night, I connected with a few dining employees that needed help, and I knew they would, and I worked with them on filling out their thing and making sure they signed the back of the envelope. And it's been difficult, because a lot of people don't want you to sign it. What about, I might get into something I don't want. So it's really tough. It takes a lot of time. But I think that it's not just me. I think there's a lot of other employees out there that would love to set up a peer system where they can work with other employees that might need that assistance. There's a pride factor there. And every employee should feel proud of the work they do, not just that are unproud because they don't have a particular song. So I try to treat all employees as equals and try to bring everybody up, not push them down. The other question there about bringing them all together, as I mentioned earlier, canvassing the campus is a nice system that brings people together. Well, by canvassing, you start out with one organizer and you start you teach other organizers to organize. You teach that, but it's like teaching teachers to teach, you teach organizers to organize. By doing that, each organizer can organize five more that they keep contact care of and control, and have those five go get five. And that's how you build your tree and you organize. That way everybody has a sound communication system within Cornell. Is it going to be easy? No. Am I going to do it in 4 years? Absolutely not. But if we all fight for it and work for it together, I think it's possible. I think that we can get better connected at Cornell, and a lot of employees that don't have a say now will have a say. And though I would be surprised if people start coming to the meetings if they do get turned around in evenings and different times where they can participate. Because I know that we've had that same problem at the Union Hall. We tried flexing those meetings. Now we have them down there, we have them on campus, different places, and we've seen results from that. So I think that that is possible. I like that idea. Does that answer your question?
Thank you very much, and I want to thank all three of you for coming. You're more than welcome to stay for the remainder of the meeting. Again, a lot of respect to you for going with your dream or your goal of running for the employee elected trustee position. It is courageous. It's admirable. So thank you very much.
Thank you. I need to go to you.
Yes, that's one.
No. I thought it was only going to go to one. And I have another one. Can I just say one other thing?
Yes.
I just want to reiterate what you said, but say it about all of you that are here. People that serve on the Employee Assembly are to be congratulated. You guys do a tremendous job.
Thank you. Thank you
very much.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we have a lot to get through. That was very nice. I like what I saw. I'm gonna.
Well, maybe not anymore.
No,
just seven.
Okay.
Sorry. Going to move on to report from the UA representative.
There is no report. We have not had a meeting, but thank you.
Approval of minutes. I saw them through email. I read them. I didn't see any problems with them. And again, I urge anyone when we have minutes, email to us to read them.
I make a motion that we approve the minutes as written.
I have a
for
motion.
The first date. I don't have
March 5th. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Pat.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Abstain.
One abstain. Okay, we'll move to pass the meeting minute for March 5th. Moving on to March 19th.
Make a motion to approve the minutes
for
March
19th.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Bill? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Abstain.
Two abstain. We will move on past the meeting minutes for March 19th. Okay, we're going to move on to committee reports. And, like I said before, I'm going to move my report from the chair to the executive committee report. Just some things I want to talk about from last week's executive meeting that we had. Dennis brought out a good point, as well as this is something that Carrie's been pushing for and a lot of us have been pushing for, is succession planning. I've been making it a habit at the beginning of every meeting to urge existing employee assembly members to look at officer positions for next term. And what I can do for succession planning in this short time frame is I want to really quickly tell you, if you're thinking about the chair, some of the things that are entailed in being the chair of the employee assembly. I'm going to run through it real fast. There's officers meetings, the regular employee assembly meeting. You're the MC at the president's address. You are an MC at the George Peter Award ceremony. You have regular committee duties. All members of the employee assembly officers are not, have to be on a couple of committees. Email correspondence. Since August, I've gotten about 1,500 emails, all EA related. That's just received, not sent. there are other awards banquets. They all go to Amy. There's awards banquets that your presence is requested to attend. Optional sports and extracurricular activities. Football games when the trustees are going to be attending, you're urged to attend. President sometimes has holiday gatherings you're invited to. The university has an expanded group that meets. There's leadership breakfast. There's meetings with Vice President Mary Opperman monthly. Article reviews to write. Committee appointments. The end of the year final report to our trustees. And MCing the emergency grant fund auction. Those are some of, yes.
I just want to add to that.
Those are some of the, most of the duties that go with being the chair, just so people kind of know. Yes.
Just from you as chair, but not as chair, you also have to take a lot of personal initiative to schedule meetings with other people and to seek out the, you know, EA related stuff.
Yes.
I know you've done that a lot by contacting people outside the on your own personal issue without having other guests for that to do.
Yeah, it is a demanding position, but I do urge anybody interested to contact me. I'd be more than happy over lunch to go over, because it is manageable. And I'm not trying to scare anybody at all. It is manageable. I have a demanding.
Too late.
So I just want to tell you a little bit about that. I would prefer somebody with employee assembly experience to seek out the chair position, because I went in it without seeing any experience, and it was quite difficult, but we managed and we got by. Coming up, May 23rd is the final report to our trustees that I'll be giving. Again, this is in confidence, but we're moving forward on presenting an award to Michael as the deal for his long time service. And Kristen McHenry from the University Council, she has blessed my allotted time to give my report at the trustees gathering to give him this award. So this will be nice, and we'll be able to do this publicly. I'll keep everybody updated. Any questions from the, anything else from the exec committee? Okay, I'll take up enough time. New on staff award recognition committee. There's nothing to report. We'll move on to communication.
Okay, communication committee has two new members join for the last meeting. Kelly Spicer and Steve is not here right now. But Steven Perino, thank you. They both joined, and so we had larger group than normal. It was fantastic having the new and exciting ideas that were generated by the newcomers to the meeting. A couple of things that we are, well, we did a general review of where we were at, what the priorities have been that were on the priority list, where we're at for each of those, a review of what's been going on in the communication committee, the REACH project, etc. And then a few things that we're looking into right now. Kelly is leading project to figure out why when EA is searched, the employee assembly is searched on CU info, why you cannot find it. I mean, it is very easy to search. So you're better off, you know, searching in Google for Cornell employee assembly, and it'll come up faster. So that's something she's taking the lead on to work and to try to make us more prominent in CU info to figure out what's going on with it. We also talked about the relationship between the HR directors and the unit and college communication people, whether they're heading to, you know, whether there's a shift that's going to occur. Right now with communication, when we have a message to get out, we contact the HR directors, and with the understanding that the HR directors will then send out information to their units and departments. And we're getting feedback that that doesn't always happen. Sometimes it goes to the HR directors and nothing then gets sent out. So that's something that I'll be taking to Mary Offerman to discuss with her further to see if there's a shift in how information is going to be sent and so forth throughout the university, or if we just need to really make it known that the messages aren't always being sent out and then try to see who's not sending them out and improve that whole system and network. And lastly, one thing we talked about was the communication committee spent a lot of time coming together, a communication list, so when we do a message to send out, like the election, we have this whole list to follow, who we sent it to, if it's in paper or email form, et cetera, et cetera. And even though we went down through this whole list, we still didn't receive enough interest to fill all of the current employee assembly seats for our election. So we're looking at why did that happen. And so as Dennis has said, there's been more communication that's gone out in more different ways that has gone out because of how things have progressed at the university than has ever happened before, but still we're not getting enough response back. So we're going to be looking at that issue and trying to tackle that and see what their next step is, trying to get more people to volunteer. So that was a summary of what happened. If you have any other questions, let me know.
You have a comment?
Mary?
Yes.
I have a question.
Certainly.
I wasn't quite clear on when you were talking about getting the HR directors getting information out to staff. What type of information to which do you refer?
So, again, you know, the topic specific, but on the communication list that we have created for the communications committee, so for example, with the election, that blurb or message, you know, where you can get a packet, when the election dates are, how you can volunteer, quotes from people who have volunteered on the EA, that would be sent to the HR director's listserv, and that goes through the Division of Human Resources. And currently, some of the feedback I've received is that it may have gone out to the HR directors, but then they were not all of them were sending it out to the unit. I know particularly in my case, I do receive it, but I have heard from other staff that they're not receiving. And I know that if the intention for Mary is that tool be used, that messages can go out to the HR directors and then be sent out to the units and the departments that are appropriate for that HR director. Does that help?
It does, but I'm also wondering if there is another approach that we might be able to take, like contact administrative assistants or something like that. I kind of get concerned when the burden is put on the HR director to share information.
Exactly, Pat, and that was our discussion, was should that fall on Kelly?
You have to clarify something. I'm a member of the Communications Review Working Group, which is a reorg, basically, of university communications. And I'm somebody who has a strong vested interest in internal communications, and I, like the EA, have the same problem that there is no way to communicate to everybody here. There is no way. And so the role of the HR communications manager, I noticed from talking to Nancy Doolittle, who's the director of communications for HR, they really don't have a communications function. And Tommy Bruce's group has been looking at this. They're sort of in the infant stages of this, and I hope that when you talk to Mary, I'll be involved, I can be involved in discussions, because I've been talking to Tommy and Tracy and HR about who is responsible for internal communications. And at this point, it sounds like they are saying that college and unit communications directors are supposed to be responsible for all internal communications. That includes information from the top down. That includes the types of messages that we want all employees to hear. Now, we're in a situation where not every college and unit has them yet, but they will. So what I'm interested in is getting it on the ground floor and helping to craft the messages and also establish the modes and the means of communication. So that's what that's about, Pat, is that HR directors really don't actually have a communications function, and they're not communicators, they don't, you know, so if you look at a successful college or unit communications director, they do take that responsibility on, and they do get these messages out.
Thank you.
Sounds like you guys are moving along nicely.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll move on to finance. Bill.
Okay, just went out this morning, so I don't know if everybody's seen it, but for everybody on the employee assembly, I did send out an update on the current year's finances, basically going through the third quarter. I'm not going to go through details here, but if anybody has some questions, I'll be glad to answer them. Also, I have sent some information to Pat and Leon about the budget for next year, and just some ideas and thoughts, and we have a meeting set up for Monday. Pat, I know you probably have a chance to see if that still fits or not, but we're going to try it for next Monday if we can. We'll find the time to do it. But to get together, we're basically going to talk over some ideas on next year's budget, and then we'll bring them forward here, probably just as a recommendation so that everybody can look at it and give them feedback. That's it.
Thank you, Bill. Okay, emergency grant fund. There's nothing to report. Personnel policy.
People can make it. So.
Okay. Hockey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
IoT. Yeah.
Nothing new. I think a lot of stuff we're doing in town comes over last year. Yeah, that's good.
Okay. University benefits. Nothing to report at this time. And employee education. If anybody's heard anything, nothing to report. Move on to old business. There is a resolution that was presented in front of us a couple weeks ago. It's a resolution to establish an ad hoc charter review committee. So this is not new. Some of you may not have seen it. This is a charge to, I'll read it. The ad hoc charter review committee will review the charter of the employee assembly, accept Article 3, identify statements that are inconsistent with current practice, identify current practices not addressed in the charter, and prepare a report summarizing the status of charter and recommended changes. The committee shall report back to the assembly at its first regularly scheduled meeting in September. The committee will be chaired by Hazel. Is everybody here? Members will be Pat, Leon, and the Office of Assemblies will be ex officio members.
Everybody got a copy of that?
Do we have any discussion on it?
I don't know where off the top of my head what Article 3 is.
Article 3 is the breakdown of the seats on the EA.
Yep.
And that's going to actually, Ari's working on another resolution to move that as another ad hoc committee.
Sure.
And we have quorum.
I have a question.
Yes.
I'm wondering whether, Hazel, you'll also be looking at committees, because one thing since I've been attending that I've noticed is that, I mean, there are 9 committees and most of them don't meet. And so, you know, my idea was I emailed you guys was that you should look at other structures that have fewer committees and really focus the mission of the organization. I mean, if you guys had one committee meeting to attend, it would be a lot easier to make it and a lot easier for people to get that work done. And also the assembly would have more focus. So is that something that, or how would that work in the entire vision?
The committee's looking at, we looked at other universities and how they're structured, and we're looking at the committee.
Is that covered by this?
Yes.
Okay.
And thank you for the information.
Okay. Do I have a motion to pass the resolution? Okay, do I have a second?
Second.
Bill? All in favor? Pat?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. We've passed a resolution to establish the Charter Review Ad Hoc Committee. Good luck, Hazel.
Thank you, Art.
Okay, update on elections. Whoever called this.
They're happy.
And there are 4 candidates, and I know people are receiving their ballots.
Remind everybody to sign, everybody you talk to about signing their ballots so they don't have to.
The envelope.
So then the one you have to send it back to them.
Okay. And the names are on the envelope for the return, so you know who votes for who. I've heard that.
No, they're separated. None of them are open yet. They're all in their envelopes and they're being alphabetized. And once we get to a point where the election's over and we close down, you know, at 4:30 next Friday,
right,
then they'll all be open and separated.
Okay.
And counted separately from the envelope.
Gotcha.
Are there any other reminders to units? I mean, I know I sent a reminder up to my units, but is there, I saw one, I think, you know, why it's sent up to that large about the election. Is there any?
I don't know if this is historical or procedure, but what is the purpose of signing the envelope?
So we can verify the authenticity of the ballot. That you didn't throw yours in the garbage and Hazel came along and voted for whoever and mailed it in.
Yeah, but how does that really work? I mean, you don't have a signature to match it up to. I've heard a lot of complaints from my staff who didn't read the thing that says this, it's fine. It does say sealed fine, but fine where necessarily? And they've all gotten this back, but you know, now I'm also worried that, I think it's nice that you're sending them back, but now I'm worried, what is the delay in campus mail? If they're going to drop them in Thursday at 4 p.m., you're not going to get them. I mean, what's the campus mail do?
Well, I think campus mail has a one-day turnaround, so if you waited until Thursday and you did not see that instruction in your ballot, it does not count.
Will you have counts of how many ballots will be received after the cutoff date, and then including ones that were received and not signed? Because I'm going to be looking
forward to that. We keep a record of everyone that is sent back.
Okay.
So it would be possible to return to company. Not come back to it after we send them.
Or even before then, like from, you know, Friday the cutoff, how many envelopes do we have now that weren't signed? That you don't have an opportunity to send back and receive back as well.
That would be easy to think of.
Right.
I don't know if my suggestions for maybe the next time.
is have a place to sign right after they make their choice right there on that, you know, the green paper, so they know that they got time right there. That's kind of a big subject in my area as well. The other thing is with the ballot stuff, yeah, if you have access to campus mail, I know a lot of employees will give them back to their supervisor and are hoping that their supervisor will send them out. That doesn't always happen, so you got to be careful about that as well.
Okay. Can I also make a comment about that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Geneva, we don't have a one-day turnaround for our mail delivery. So I'm also concerned in that regard. Sometimes it takes 3 to 4 days for mail to get to us, and vice versa.
Very good point. I'm not the elections expert, but I do know that how the election proceeded already, it started, you know, whatever the rules and processes are, if the deadline is this date, then, you know, we have to honor how it is now. But all these suggestions, and Pat, that's a very good point, because there's no way that mail is going to get there and back here in a day. Very good points for next year's elections. We can always work with the Office of Assemblies on fine-tuning the process. But I don't believe there's anything that we can do at this point. You know, a signed, completed application is legit at this point. And then we can get you the staff on the ones that came.
Yeah, I just want to know the numbers and then
Brian, and then we're going
to
move on.
Pat, if you don't have any ballots that are ready by the 24th, you call me on the 24th. I'll come and get them, make sure they're in the fact that it's really good.
Well, I can, I mean,
that's an offer.
For me, I can get them. I'll just have people return them to me specifically, and then I can bring them down. But I just don't want that to have to be the future.
Gotcha. Okay, thank you for the election update.
I'd like to make a motion to extend the meeting by about 5 minutes.
Do I have a second? All in favor? Any opposed? Okay, we're gonna extend the meeting for 5 minutes. Okay, we're gonna move on because I want to get to the update on the Geneva trip. What are our updates?
I sent an email out last time after we talked about it, and I heard from 9 of you saying yes, you were coming, and 2 I have not heard from. And I know for sure that 2 people don't need a ride. Nobody else specified whether they did or didn't. So.
We have 7. Including
9 altogether. Okay. 9 yeses.
Is that including Officer Summers if you can make it?
That doesn't include Peggy and I were intending to go with you.
9? 10, 11. How many room in the shuttle?
9.
9? 2 are going on their own. We may be okay right now.
Am I on that list? I don't remember.
No, the offer
was
extended.
Yeah,
it should
have
been.
Yeah, you were.
Am I on your yes list?
No, because you didn't reply to my email.
Okay.
I'll have to check for that email.
If
you don't see it,
yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So
you're
a
yes then?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
And Brian?
Yes.
If I could just add too, I've already worked with our communications department, and we have got a brief tour planned. And I will be purchasing the food, and Amy for the OA, I will be using my procurement card, and we can just do a transfer.
Okay.
Sounds good. Did you also email us your wine list?
you're up in the good country, Pat. Any other questions about the Geneva trip? It is a go. I'm sure that we will be locking down an agenda here in the near future. We're looking forward to going, Pat.
Excellent. I can't wait for y'all to get here.
Roll out the red carpet. All right. Any new business? I think we've had a pretty eventful and a lot of content in this meeting. Good job, everybody. Open forum, anything anybody wants to?
Well, I'm here for smoke day.
I'm here for smoke day.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Okay, I have a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Second. Second.
Pat, second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? No opposed? We will adjourn April 16th meeting.
I'll see you soon, Geneva.
Bye, everybody.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.